Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 27 of the Depressed Breakfast Club. This week we're going to be talking about family ties. So, before we get into that, as always, we're not medical professionals. Anything we say here is of our own opinions. Please don't take us too seriously. If you're feeling like heavy depression, a lot of anxiety, please talk to a medical professional. Get on some medication if you think it'll help you. If you're on medication, don't stop taking your medication without seeking professional advice. And if things are really bad, Joyelle has some phone numbers for you. Joyelle?
Yeah, so if you're feeling suicidal, sorry, or just need somebody to talk to, please reach out to the suicide hotline. In Canada, it's 1-833-456-4566, or you can text message 45645. And in the U.S., you can call 988 or text TALK to 741-741. So if you're feeling suicidal or you need somebody to talk to, please reach out and get some help. And on to Taylor.
Good morning, everyone. As always, a general reminder that our email is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. You can also find us on the Facebook under the same name. We like to share stories and posts. And even last week, we I don't know which one of us. I know it wasn't me. That's all I know. Posted one or two that were more interactive to get people posting on the page, which I actually really liked. The one about the I am and fill in the blank.
Oh, yeah, really that was good. Me.
Oh, there we go. I was like, I don't know which one of you did it. Good job. You did good, Peanut. And for this week, the quote's actually going to be, "The blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb." So the reason why I went with that specific quote is because it is horribly fucking misused, because people constantly talk about blood is thicker than water. And when they're using it completely wrong, because the actual meaning of it is that the blood of battle is thicker than the water of the womb. So those who your chosen family who go to bat for you and you are willing to die for are the ones that you're strongest have the strongest connection to. I cannot figure out how I was going to originally phrase that sentence. Whereas those that you're born into, the water of the womb, are not necessarily your true family. And for me, this is a topic that's close to home because of how my mom raised me. We don't have any interaction with any of her blood family whatsoever. She cut ties from them decades ago. And then on top of that, I don't have any interaction with my father's side. So it's literally just my mom that I have. And she raised me that the chosen family is always going to be closer than the supposed blood relatives that, oh, well, because they're blood, you're supposed to keep them around. No, most of the damage that's caused for your mental health is caused by those that are supposedly your blood family, who's agreed, supposed to be there for you. It's like, no, they're literally some of the worst people I know. And agreed. I've watched other people, and I've watched the blood family where they use the, well, you have to forgive them. He's your brother. No! you don't have to forgive fucking shit. Good for you, brother of mine. You can go fucking jump off a cliff. I hate when people say that. Oh, for me, the trigger is when people tell me, oh, well, but he's your dad. You have to forgive him. Like, he's still your blood. Like, he's the reason you're here. I'm like, nope, I don't have to fucking forgive him for anything. I don't have to deal with him. He made his choices in his life. He can fuck off till the end of time. Like, nope, I'm not in for it. I have my chosen family. I have you girls. I have my my sisters, all of them, like, I am an only child. So when I say that I have siblings, they are 100% my chosen family. And they are the ones that I know would not hesitate to come over and be like, okay, well, time to hide the body.
Yeah. Yeah, when you have a friend that you text and you may say, you say something like, this isn't going to end well, and their response is, who do I got to kill? You yep. know that's family.
Yes. 1,000,000%. And yeah. it's not something that just happens overnight. Like, you don't just suddenly wake up one day and go, well, time to cut off all the blood ties and go find me a new family. Like, just jump over to the local Walmart and go up the aisle of, oh, this is the family aisle. I'm just going to take all, yeah, I'll take this little fella and I'll take that little one and I'll take one of those. And I'll take two of these. Here we go. I've got my family now. It takes years of cultivating for you to find those friends that you go, this is my family. This right here is my family, where you're like, all right. And it is going to be the weirdest mashup of people. I can guarantee you this. It's going to be the weirdest fucking mashup of people that you can even imagine. Because you're going to randomly find them during the weirdest points. Like, for me, one of my best friends, who I so wish that she didn't live all the way over in Montana. She is my bestie, and I think of her completely as family. I would do anything. I would cross the border and go pick her up just to hang out for a day. Without hesitation. But her and I have some of the weirdest conversations that like solidified our friendship, because she would take an edible and then we would talk about the weirdest things. Like, just thinking about like where a praise kink came from was a topic last night. And her blaming it on a Zelda game. And I just sat there and I'm like, this is why I love you. Like, I don't know if I necessarily agree. She's like, just look at this one line. This is clearly where my praise kink came from. I'm like, I don't think that's how that worked. I can almost guarantee. But I love you so much for having this thought process.
I completely understand what you mean. We've talked about my bestie Anne
mm-hmm.
on here before, and chosen family. I refer to her mom and dad as Aunt Irene and Uncle Bob.
Mm-hmm.
They're family to me. They're more, her mom is more aunt to me than some of my blood aunts. And I think it's because she's been consistent my whole life. My like, Anne and I, when I say Anne, and people laugh, how long have you and your bestie been best friends? 52 years. Mm-hmm. How old are you? 52. How old's your bestie? Well, she just turned 52 in May. They don't understand. Our parents were friends before we were born. So mm-hmm. I was born in March of 71. Anne was born in May of 71. So we've literally been friends since conception.
You're like, we were friends actually 52 years and 9 months.
So, yeah, chosen family, I get it. I find that people who don't understand, going on the, what you were saying about people telling you you have to forgive your father.
Mm-hmm.
The people that say things like that have never had PTSD or childhood trauma from a parent or a sibling when they say things like that to you, or they've repressed it so far back that they don't remember.
Because I was gonna say it's that, yeah.
And anybody that has suffered at the hands of a family member, you can't forgive.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. And I know there's so many people out there that use that stupid fucking phrase. I can forgive, but I'll never forget. No, you won't fucking forget it, and don't fucking forgive it either, because you're taking your power away from yourself of healing and giving it back to them to know that they can still continue with that behavior, because they're going to keep doing it and you're going to keep mm-hmm. forgiving it. You may not forget it, but you'll always forgive it. No, don't fucking forgive it. Somebody treats you like shit, don't fucking forgive them for doing it. Walk away. Have some self-respect.
I was just going to say that would be my suggestion to them, where it's, because I know I talked about it with my therapist specifically about my father for the forgiving, forgetting, all that fun stuff. And she had phrased it, she was like, you have to forgive him for it. Not that you have to verbally go and forgive him for it, but you have to basically forgive yourself for not saying something or being so hard to yourself over it, where you can forgive the situations. You're never going to forget them, but you're going to forgive them for the fact of being like, you know what? I didn't like how often he drank and I didn't say anything. I just sat there and was like, okay, well, I'm going to go be bored up in my room now, instead of just doing something else. And it's like, okay, forgive yourself for being in those situations, because you don't deserve to be upset or mad at yourself. You did what you thought was right at the time. You were doing what society says you're supposed to, where you forgive the father or you forgive the family member and just go about everything as though it's normal. But it's not. Taylor, and you're allowed to feel that way.
How long has it been since you've had a relationship with your dad where you guys were in the same house and he was drinking and you walked away?
Since he and I were in the same house? I haven't lived in the same house as him since I was 11. Yes, 20 years now.
Okay, so Tina, usually you're like, I'm going to be devil's advocate, but I'm going to be the devil's advocate right now.
Here, I'm waiting for her to do it, and it's you.
You just said that he was drinking, and you would go up to your room and be bored instead of saying something to him.
Mm-hmm.
At 11 years old, what would have been the consequences if you had looked at your father and said, can you stop drinking?
Honestly, not much. Nothing would have really changed, or at least I'm fairly certain. I won't say 100%, but I'm fairly certain nothing would have really come of it, because years later, when he would text me and ask me saying, oh, well, why don't we talk? And I would blatantly tell him, it's like, because you drink and you don't remember these conversations. You ask me a couple times a year, why don't we get together and do things? Because I don't like your family. You chose the dicks and you chose to let them treat me like shit. So that's on you. You have fun with your new family who doesn't even like you. Good luck with that when you end up having a failing liver and none of them want to help you with it and none of them are going to take care of you.
So and again, devil's advocate. So sorry.
You go. Yeah. I feel like you're saying so sorry to Joyelle. Like, I'm so sorry I'm taking your spot.
Do you honestly feel like you need to forgive your 11-year-old self for not speaking up to your father?
It's not that I feel I had to forgive her for that aspect of it, but I had to forgive her for feeling like she had done something wrong. So that was what it turned out being, was that I didn't realize how hard, I guess, the divorce and all that stuff had hit me at that age. So I was crying, like, when I had my mental breakdown, I'm sitting there crying over something from when I was 11, and Mama looked at me, and she went, what are you so upset about? I'm like, I'm so upset about the divorce, and I blame myself. yourself. And she looked at me, she was like, what the fuck, kid? She's like, I told you it wasn't you. I'm like, yeah, but I still thought it was me. I can change. I'll be better.
I'm slow.
It's only taken 20 years, but I got there.
Okay. No, I wasn't trying to, like, say that you shouldn't forgive yourself. Mm. I just want, for me, because, you know, my situation is different with.
Yeah.
But, my therapist has never said that to me. I just wanted the clarity mm-hmm. to understand at such a young age how you would forgive your 11-year-old self for not, you know, putting your hands on your hips and stop drinking, you know?
I mean, chances are, I probably, that's exactly how I would have done it, which is amazing that you, that you knew it. But I know. Was, you're like, I can picture it clear as day.
See, little 11-year-old Taylor, stop drinking.
I was, little side tangent, I was the one, how old was I? I was like, I was really young, maybe 4 or 5. And you remember back in the 90s when the smoker section, for some stupid ass reason, was in the front of the restaurants and the non-smoking was in the back. So you always had to walk through the smoker sections.
Yes, you had to walk through the lung cancer special. Yep. That's what I always called it.
Yeah, so we were walking by. I stopped dead in my tracks in front of this table with this fella smoking, like puffing away on a cancer stick on a date. And I turned to him, again, hands on my hips, and went, God, you're stupid. Why are you smoking that? That's stupid. And my mom was mortified. She came racing and went, I'm so sorry. And the woman he was out on a date with, like the guy looked pissed off apparently. But the woman turned like with a smug look on her face and went, yeah, Bradley, why are you so stupid? My papa was so proud. He's in behind my mom going, you go, grandbaby. I was like, I'm so sorry. Walk, get in there. She's like, why would you do that? I was like, because you told me I'm smoking stupid. She's like, yes, but you don't repeat that out loud. I'm like, well, yeah, you do. You told me to tell the truth. That's the truth. Why is he so dumb? And she's like, stop talking. Just stop talking and get in the back of the restaurant. So, yes, the chances were very likely that I would have come down the stairs with hands on hips.
So, Joyelle.
Yep.
So, we've talked about your family dynamic. You want to share some insight?
Yeah, I, like, it's a complicated situation. But, yeah, like, I get the, well, just PTSD. Mm-hmm. Point first. Because I actually have a hard time. This is gonna sound weird, sleeping if somebody else is in my house. Because when I was growing up, my mom was obviously, like we said, always drunk and stoned. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, she just couldn't stay put. She yeah. always had to be up and falling over everything. And she would do that a lot during the middle of the night. And so you'd be sleeping in a dead sleep. And that's all that would wake me up in the middle of the night. Her on her way to the washroom or something falling down. And I still sometimes will just jolt awake in the middle of the night thinking I heard somebody fall down.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I find it very hard, especially if somebody else is in the house with me, to sleep because I just think that I hear them falling down. The other point where you're saying, oh, they need to forgive your dad, forgive this. So, of course, growing up, my grandmother and that was always, not my mom, it was actually my grandmother on my dad's side. Because I made no, as I got older, no, I did not hide the fact that I did not like my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that I did not get along with her. And that my grandmother and them, that's what they would always say. She's your mother. You have to. She gave birth to you. Mm-hmm. But in the other sense, where I grew up, we, like, my dad and them were given the plot of land that our house was built on by my mother's dad. And so we kind of all lived in this corner because he gave a plot of land to my uncle and a plot of land to my aunt. But my aunt, they never built on it because they lived in the States. But my uncle lived right next door. My dad, my mom's brother. First off, you would have, unless you knew that they were, like, knew the dynamic of the family, you would never have guessed they were brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he didn't, my uncle never talked to her. They never helped her with anything. They never tried to, like, get her help. They never tried to help. Neither did my aunt, even though they were in the States. Nobody tried to help me and my sister. Everybody, even on my dad's side, all my aunts and uncles, cousins, whatever, they all knew what was going on in our house. And not one person stepped in to try and help.
That's sinful.
And
yes,
so,
I agree.
So I don't talk to them. I mean, I don't hold really a grudge against them, but I don't go out of my way.
I kind of do.
To talk to them. Well, I do against my mom's side of the family, against my uncle, and then because I mean they lived right fucking next door,
and exactly. they let two children suffer in that environment.
Yep,
exactly. That's child abuse.
They all did. Mm-hmm. They all let us. They all did, and I just for that side of the family, I definitely cut my ties. But our side of the family, my dad's side of the family, I don't go out of my way, right? And my dad is constantly telling me I'm going to regret that. That I should be making,
my God, yes.
I should be making the effort to go and see them and have a relationship with them because one day they're going to be gone and I'm going to regret that. And that's his biggest thing that with my sister, because he hasn't talked to my sister in over like in 25 years. And that's his. Oh, she's going to regret this. She's going to regret, you know, she's going to regret that she missed like all my grandparents and stuff passing away and our aunts and uncles passing away. And not having relationships, and but I think my sister's the fucking smart one of us and got out.
the trauma that she endured as a child,
mm-hmm.
for your sister, for her not having contact with anybody in the family other than yourself, is probably a blessing for her.
God, it, well, yeah.
I mean,
I think it's a blessing for her, but
absolutely.
She also left. So here's the thing with my sister, though. My mom wasn't always the way she was. And my sister's older than me. So my sister got a mother for a lot of years.
And you didn't.
And I did not. And then, of course, there were the years that we did not. But my sister also left before it got super bad. Mm. So she didn't have to see or deal with some of the shit that I had to deal with, because she was already gone. But she did. We both had to deal with the ignorance of my father. And, like, my sister was 24 when she left, right? And my dad was, like, he was angry because she was going. And he was forbidding, like, he actually was forbidding her to go. And he said he was going to call the cops. And she's like, for what? She's like, I'm 24 fucking years old. She's like, I could go and do whatever the fuck I want. And that. And so she did. And the thing with my dad is, he believes everybody should cater to him because, one, he's our father. Two, he stayed to raise us when he could have just left. So we owe him. Yeah, and because he's like the parent, the older one, that we should be going to him. So instead, like, my dad and them, they went to Cuba for their honeymoon when my dad got married, right, to his wife. Why couldn't you have taken a honeymoon over in Europe?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Could have seen his kid.
Could have, yeah, and his grandkids. But nope.
It was cheaper.
Well, yeah, but that's not the point of it. The point is he.
I know.
The point is, for him, she needs to come here. He made
no effort either.
Right, like, for him, he feels he shouldn't be the one to go there. She has to come here. She had a web page, and she would post all her pictures of the kids and stuff on it, right? And she gave the link and stuff to my dad. Here's, like, my page and blah, blah, blah. My dad would never, not once did he go on it. He refused to. He wanted her to physically mail him pictures.
The fuck?
Oh,
why?
My dear God.
Yeah. Yeah. And as far as, like, okay, we set up this meeting, right? We take time out of our days to do this. And my dad will not take time out of his day, even though he's not doing anything, to talk to my sister.
That's so
it would
stupid.
Be like, it would be like if he had a second free, then he would try and Skype her. This was at the beginning. He would try and Skype her. Well, there's first off a 6-hour time difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. Second off, she has a life. She's raising kids and stuff. And he would, well, this is the time I had. Well, why didn't you set something up with her? And that, so then he would be like, well, I tried calling, but she didn't answer. So he hasn't talked to her. And he blames her. And he feels she should be the one to make the efforts because he's old. And his wife feels the same way about her daughter, who lives in Toronto and that they should be, they won't even travel up to Toronto to see her grandkids and that because they feel they're old. And so she should be coming down here. Same with when I got married, we did not want a wedding. We wanted to have go to Jamaica and have a destination wedding. Right. My dad refused to go. So they conned us into having a wedding that my dad semi paid for. And it was the worst. It was the worst day of my life. And two, the money you spent on our wedding, you could have spent on a plane ticket to Jamaica to see us get married. Or two, that money and all the money they've spent in renovating houses that they've lived in, they could have spent going to see my sister. Or even helping pay for my sister's tickets or something to come here.
Yeah. If it meant that much to him, he would make an effort. There, It goes to the narcissistic personality, right? Everybody has to come to me. 1,000,000%.
Yeah. So I feel a lot of guilt. Like when my dad like finally left my mom in that, I felt a lot of guilt, even though I don't know if it was guilt because she was my mother, or just guilt that like no human being should be what she was. Mm-hmm. Like that, mm-hmm. I knew that she was going to be alone, that she wasn't going to be able to take her care of herself, that she wouldn't get help, that like those things. And I felt guilty for leaving a person in that situation. And like the police had to come and break down our door to get her out of the house.
Wow.
And stuff. And then when she passed away, my aunt on, it would have been my dad's or my mother's brother, his wife, called to tell me. And she wanted me to pay for the funeral. And when I said I didn't care, first off, that she passed away and I wasn't paying for a funeral, they made me feel guilty. They made me feel like I was the worst person in the world for doing this. They had made me feel like I was an awful person when I left and chose, like, I was 20 years old and I wasn't going to stay and take care of a drunk. Like, mm-hmm. I had a life to live.
How old were you when your mom passed away, Joyelle?
Well, she passed away in 2009.
So how old were you then?
So I was in my 30s, like, what, 34 or something?
Oh, okay.
Like, I was older. I was, because I was married and stuff already. So I was in my early 30s, for sure. But I don't know. I carry a lot of guilt, but I can't forgive her because I feel like, and this is where I keep my opinion to myself a lot about people that are alcoholics and people that have drug issues, addictions, because I feel like they choose it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how many times my mom went to Brentwood, she went into different other programs and stuff, and yet each time you still chose to drink and you chose to take those pills, mm-hmm. over raising your children, over having a family, over anything in your life, you chose it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I know that people say, oh, it's a disease, and that I don't buy that, because, or people that say, oh, my parents drank, so I'm a drinker, or oh, my parents did drugs. I don't buy that. Me and my sister both did not turn out like that.
Well, for me, it's I have the ability and the privilege, I suppose, of getting to see where my father is a raging alcoholic. Doesn't do drugs, but raging alcoholic, and has been for decades now. And I am exactly in the same boat as you, Joyelle, where I say it's like, no, that shit is a choice. You choose, mm-hmm. to pick up a bottle every day. You choose to continue that behavior. You don't have to. And the reason that I can say that, and I'm sure people will disagree, and again, a reminder, this show is our own opinions, not just 100%, here you go, this is how it is. My mom has an extremely fucked up background. She was doing drugs from a very young age, among other things, and she did all those fun things. She went to, what was it? S.A. A.A. D.A. All of them. All of the anonymouses. She did all of those. She went to Brentwood. She went to any of the help groups, all that fun stuff. Continued to make bad decisions. And even she says going to those places, she's like, they don't really work. Because all you're doing is you're putting a bunch of alcoholics or a bunch of drug addicts or a bunch of sex addicts into one room where they can all go, hey, guess what I have this week? It's a new drug. And share with each other. And she ended up getting clean because she got pregnant with me and she didn't even take a Tylenol. She took nothing. So she has chosen to stay sober of her own fucking free will. And she comes from a family of alcoholics and druggies and everything else. So it is proof that, yes, it is a choice. You can choose to not be like your family members, like I choose not to drink. People always look at me and they always assume something wrong when if I make a comment about, oh, yeah, you know what? I'd like to go out for drinks. The looks I get are normally like,
you drink?
Yeah. And I was saying that's exactly it. Like even this past week, it was mentioned multiple times. I'm like, I do still drink. I choose not to be an alcoholic because I come from a family of alcoholics on both sides. I've seen what my father does. And unlike him, I choose not to be like that. I could so easily just blame it on the family genetics and say, oh, well, I'm predispositioned to be an alcoholic and a drug addict on both sides. So clearly I just have to give into it and do it. No, you don't. You choose to give into it and you choose to do it and you choose to make bad decisions based on that fact. So
Don't get me wrong. When I was young, like, fuck, I drank like a fucking fish out of water. My God, I was like, people are looking for me and I'm like the one passed out in the fucking field.
Joy-El.
Yeah.
It's like that meme says for county kids. If you weren't dead in a field at the age of 15 from alcohol poisoning, were you even a kid?
Yeah, like, I swear to God, like, I would be, like, out of all of our friends, for sure, I was, like, I would just drink vodka straight out of the bottle, and I was, there wasn't a time when we went to a party or something that I did not get totally, totally smashed. I never have done, other than weed, I've never done any drugs. They don't interest me whatsoever. I'm not curious about them. I've seen what can happen. I don't understand, and I don't understand the desire of it to begin with. Well, and stuff, but I mean, but then I grew up, right? Like I was young, and then you start growing up, and you get responsibilities and you have to, like, you know, drinking then stopped. It wasn't fun anymore.
It's not fun waking up in the field when you're 30.
Yeah, like,
where's my underwear?
Corn doesn't hold you when you're that age.
It's true though. Like, I can remember when I was younger, I used to drink way more. Like, there was a spurt when I was way younger. And it was like, oh yeah, drinking every weekend, some weeknights. Like, yeah, it was awesome. It was fun. It was bad decisions being made. Yep. But then I got older.
It was life being lived.
No, definitely. Trust me, definitely it was bad decisions being made. But, like, I don't regret any of that. And even for times being actually drunk, I can say that those came later in life. And weirdly enough, like, they were with people that I worked with that I thought were mature adults. And I was wrong. One of which went over, found out she was an alcoholic that night as she continuously plied me with alcohol. And it got to the point where it was like 2 a.m. and I tried to, like, groggily lean over and touch my mom's hand. I was like, we need to go. Her room will stay still. We need to leave now. And that was when I was in my 20s by that. Yeah, I think early 20s by that point. So I have a couple of those where I'm like, yeah, I got drunk a couple of times once I got older. And then I was like, yeah, you know what? No, I'm good. I don't need to drink until I get drunk. I just need to get a nice buzz on. I'm unlike my father. I don't need to just keep on going. And knowing the, like, some of the science behind it, where people talk about how the alcohol, they're like, oh yeah, you know, it helps dull the pain. It's like, no, it doesn't. It does the opposite of that. It amplifies whatever you're feeling. So if you're feeling depressed and down and just all sorts of bad things, having alcohol and drugs are the worst things you can possibly do, because it will amplify those feelings and emotions and put you in an even worse downward spiral. So because I know that, I purposely try to only drink if I'm feeling happy or if I'm in a good spot. Like, that's when it's like, all right, you know what? If I'm out with friends and we're having a gay old time, then let's do it. Let's party it up. And it'll be fine. If I'm not feeling it and I'm kind of like depressed, I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm going to stick with water. I'm just going to stick with water and have fun.
I don't drink anymore because I take too many medications.
So,
and that's the gist of that. But even so, to this day, I do not know where my mom is buried.
Wow.
Because when I wouldn't pay for the funeral, my aunt and them did not inform me of when or where she was being buried.
I mean, the easy thing now is you could obviously go on Google and find the obits and the records of where she is, but...
I have the obit. I have her... I also have the coroner's report.
Doesn't mean that you want to go to the spot.
No.
How did she die?
It's undetermined, but she had a lot of drugs in her system. I don't even know all the drugs she had in her system, but I know she had fentanyl and cocaine.
Fuck!
As well as a whole shitload of other drugs in her system.
So definitely an OD would be my guess. Could have been a cardiac event from the fentanyl.
Yeah. Who knows? She was, like, she lived in... I don't know what kind of home it was. It was in McGregor. And like a halfway house maybe or something like that. Yeah. I don't know, but they distributed her drugs. Like, she didn't... So I don't know how she would... Well, obviously the cocaine and fentanyl weren't distributed.
But I was just going to say, yeah, those two weren't. What kind of halfway house was she in? This is the halfway to death house.
I don't know. Apparently, she said she didn't feel good at dinner, and she went up. She went upstairs, and they found her dead, and called the ambulance, and they tried to revive her, and that was that.
So now, what are your thoughts on chosen family? Because obviously Dana and I both completely agree on that. We both have chosen family. So what about you, Peanut?
Oh my goodness, do I have? I don't think I have well, other than you and Dana, I don't have chosen family.
I was about to come to Amherstburg and punch you if you didn't say you were chosen family.
No.
Ooh, they were about to be hands. Oh, that's true. We do have your address now.
Go ahead.
Oh my God. We must discuss after this. So anyways.
Okay.
What were we talking about? Oh, family.
Us being your chosen family.
Yeah. So, I mean.
And the violence that almost ensued had you not said before.
Yeah. Other than that, like. No, I don't really. Because, like, I had my best friend, but she passed away.
Right.
And other than that, I feel like my life has been filled with just false people. And that seems like I'm not very good at choosing people. Because, like, I mean, my husband, all of my former relationships, even, like, my friendships that I thought that people were my friends, where now I look back on it and it was like, it was, what can I, it was like they were there when they needed something from me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I needed something or I needed support or I was going through a rough time, nobody's around.
Yep. That right there is exactly what shows who the true chosen family is and not. Just because it'll be it's the dark times, I find, that show whether or not people are actually there for you.
Oh, absolutely.
If they're there, then you're like, yeah, you're here with me through thick and thin. Whereas if you're not there and you only show up for the good times, then I know where to put you on. Like, it's not that I won't be friends with you still, but I'm going to like really downgrade you and be like, oh, I thought you were in the close friend circle. Take you out and go, oh, no, you're way down in the acquaintance circle, as it turns out. So you're definitely not a family member. You're on the outskirts now, as it turns out.
And didn't I learn that recently?
That's a perfect example.
That some people I thought were chosen family were nothing more than acquaintances.
Yeah, like, I spent, like, my one friend, like, she married my cousin and that, but, I mean, we've been friends since we were 14. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, her daughter's godmother. And I stood in her wedding. And, like, I've always been there for them, no matter what. Even, like, if they needed to borrow money, I've lent them money. I've never asked for the money back. I've never, like, anytime they needed me, I've been there for them. And then it was, like, when my parents split up, nobody cared. Nobody helped. Nobody was there for me. In fact, they had gotten mad at me and stopped talking to me for a few years, because I was supposed to go visit them and I had called and canceled. And not because I wasn't feeling like visiting anyone. I was going through my own shit. And my cousin had called and he like literally yelled at me and said that my friend had been sitting at home waiting. Meanwhile, I had talked to her and I told her I wasn't coming out. So years went, we didn't talk for years on that, for that. And then, you know, we started talking again, but it was the same thing again. Like, over and over, it was like, if I complained that about something, or like, you don't return my calls, or you don't do this, you don't do that, then it was like, well, grow up, we have lives, we have kids, we have this, you don't. And this just, when this is like went on time and again for years, and I just pushed it aside and just let it slide and never said anything, just let him treat me however. And just finally I just said, okay, I'm done. And I'm not angry like at them. I'm not in a fight with them. Once in a while I'll still text them, but I said enough's enough.
Mm-hmm. And stuff like that makes people think that having a chosen family is like near impossible, just because you have so many people that can be in your life where you think, okay, they're always going to be there, there's nothing that could happen, and then something simple like that comes up and you're just sitting there going, really? Like, I thought you were my person, like I could count on you for anything and everything, and it turns out that no, over something so small, you're not there for me, you're not helping me, you're blaming me instead, I'm going through my own shit and it's my fault. Like, what the hell?
It's a horrible feeling to always be there for someone, and then the second that you say you need them, your feelings are dismissed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like mental illness, struggling with depression or anxiety. Always being there for someone and walking them through even the smallest of traumas because they blow everything out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always there. You know, the hugs, the pats on the backs, the late night phone calls, the text messages. And then, you know, something happens that triggers your own issue, and you call out to who you think is your chosen family. I had two older brothers. My one brother passed away when he was 17, so I didn't technically grow up with him. But and my brother Darren is more like a sister than a brother. Oh God, I love you, fat boy.
It's awesome because it's true. I love Darren.
I never had that sister bond, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So finding an individual that I felt I grew a sisterly bond with, and then, you know, saying to them, when my dad passed away, it really took a toll on my depression. Like it mm-hmm. it put me in a spiral, which I'm sure it would for anybody. You just lost a parent, for fuck's sakes. No offense, Joelle. No. you should be mourning. You should feel that infinite sadness. I had a very good relationship with my dad. I'm not like saying Joelle's wrong in any way. Not mourning the loss of her family. I just want to establish that. Her mom. I don't want the haters coming after us. So for me, shut up, Taylor. You guys can't see her bend over laughing in the video. So for me, going to that person that it was actually people, it was peoples, going to them that feeling like I had, that they would have my back, because, you know, I always had their backs, and saying, you know, it's really affected me. I'm sorry I'm not my normal happy self. It's affected my depression, and being told, well, get over it. Everybody suffers from depression, and everybody will lose a parent eventually. That's when I realized I didn't have that sisterly connection. Y'all are just acquaintances now. and it shook me.
Mm-hmm.
It shook me. I stepped back. And I evaluated. Is this relationship good for me? No. You weigh the pros and the cons. No. It wasn't. A lot of shit happened to me in the last 3 years, 3.5 years. I went through a lot. The people that were there for me are my chosen family. And the people that post on Facebook the thumbs up, you got this. Go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? My circle of friends has gotten considerably smaller in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And there's only, if I had to guesstimate, I would say there's like 7 people in my circle that know me now on this day. Mm-hmm. They know what I'm going through. They know my struggles. They know my path. You two are 2 of them.
Woo!
Because we had that conversation last week. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, you don't need to know.
Nope.
And you don't need to know because I'm sorry. I don't see our relationship as being that close anymore because you stepped away, which forced me to step away, and now we're 100 feet apart.
Yep.
You're on the outer ring of my circle of friends. My chosen family is within my inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. Sometimes some of those friendships are hard to leave behind. They're hard to lose, but
sometimes you have to.
My self-respect is worth way more than anybody making fun of me on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Or mocking me. Mocking me should be not so much making fun of, but mocking me. And that's what I said the one day I posted. And I just posted a comment that basically said, you may not think that I don't see what you're doing, but I do. I mm-hmm. see it. I get it. And I had a couple people that posted, ooh, drama. Drama because you're making it drama.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what I was talking about.
Yep.
So don't fucking cast your worm out towards me and pull me into your drama bullshit. Don't fish. I don't fucking like that shit. And that person yep. went on snooze for a very long time.
I have.
Until I got a text message from them that was like, I tagged you in a post. How come you didn't acknowledge it? To which I replied, oh, I snoozed ya. Sorry, you were posting shit that I didn't agree with.
I have two clear instances in my mind that I think really affected my mental health. And the first one is, like I said, how we grew up, like, in with my uncle and then next door. Mm. And so my one cousin was like just a year older than me. And me and him were like brother and sister. Like we did everything together. We played together. We grew up together. Even like into our early 20s and everything, like we were together like 24/7. And, you know, even though, like, he did things that, like, he started doing drugs and stuff like that. And, you know, I never, even growing up with what I grew up with, I never judged him on it. And, like, I was always there to support him. no matter what, if he was like fighting with his parents over something stupid or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I met my husband, okay? And at the same time as I met my husband, my pit passed away. And I didn't go to the funeral because I didn't want to run into my mother. And after that, because I didn't go to the funeral, my cousin stopped talking to me. And we were like brother and sister. Like, there wasn't anything he didn't know about me or I didn't know about him.
And he didn't understand your reluctance to run into your mother?
He just stopped talking to me.
Wow.
But if you ask him, I ditched him for my husband.
Oh, so he's seeing it. He's seeing it the way he wants to see it, not the way it happened.
Right. So I did not ditch him for my husband.
People like that.
At the same time, my friend that passed away, like, obviously she was still living then. We were in our early 20s. And, I mean, of course we didn't have perfect friendship. We fought and stuff, right? But I started dating my husband, and I would call her up, and I'd be like, let's go do something. Oh, I don't really have any money. Or you should spend time getting to know your boyfriend, because, like, we had just met and stuff. And he was like, no, I want to do something. No, maybe another time. So this went on, like, for a couple weeks and that. And then I'd find out she went out with some of our other friends and stuff. And so I wasn't mad. I just was like, well, if she wants to do something, she'll get a hold of me. Right? Mm. Yeah. That didn't turn out well. So she ended up doing credit card fraud on me. And so I had her arrested. And then we didn't talk for probably 10 years and that. And we had just started talking a couple years before she passed away. So we lost all that time. So, but anyway, so there's that. So at my wedding, I had my cousin stand in my wedding and his wife, who was like, I had been friends, who I'm their goddaughter, and I stood in their wedding, right? So I had her as my maid of honor. And so she was my maid of honor, and she did nothing. Nobody helped us decorate the hall. I had to actually throw a hissy fit to get them to get her dress altered and get my cousin to rent his tux. Then the day of the wedding, they all took off our whole bridal party, took off to the strip joint, and left me and Jamie, me in my wedding dress, him in his tux, to clean up the hall before we could go home. And I say that affected my mental health, not knowingly at the time, as I was disappointed and angry, but as I feel, it drove me more to depend on him and to make him more my whole world, while him being a narcissist just fed on that.
Oh, and it gave, absolutely.
And it gave him
power.
The perfect opportunity, yep, to really control me and really destroy me mentally. So this is the type of friendships, relationships that I've had.
Peanut.
Yes. This is the representation of how I feel after this entire story, of all the whiplash I just got.
Peanut.
Yep.
Can we write a book?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
It just goes seriously.
So sometimes listening to you, my heart hurts. No, just hear me out. My heart hurts for you, and I think, the fuck were you complaining about, you stupid bitch? No. You have gone through absolutely nothing compared to Peanut.
See, I was going to say, like, I feel like Peanut feels the same way I do, where before having my mental breakdown, I never really think about all the things that I've been through. Like, mm-hmm. I live them. I was there through them. And because for me, they were normal. So I don't think anything of it. But then when I go and I tell other people and I start actually telling them the full story, like the example that made my sister actually made me stop talking to it. I'm sorry. And you don't think that you should have been going to therapy sooner? Was when I was talking about, I remember being about 13, 14, and my mom was sleeping on the living room floor on a mattress with a bat next to her bed, or next to the mattress, because the ex that she had, who had threatened to kill her and make me an orphan, or would threaten to kill me and make her childless if she tried to leave him, or did anything, or went to the cops, anything like that, and ended up fucking her over for a bunch of money. And his employees would show up to our house with crowbars and chains ready to beat my mother. And I can remember when a group of them showed up and her going outside and telling me, like, stay inside, grab the phone. If anything happens, call 911. But just stay inside, stay away from the windows. And I can remember the raised voices, her talking to them, going over everything and defusing the situation. But they had knives and crowbars. And I remember that at the age of 13. And to me, that just felt like normal-ish, because it wasn't the first time that had happened. There were other things. So when you go through stuff like that and you don't say it out loud to other people, you're just like, yeah, you know, I had a rough childhood at certain parts. Like, I think my childhood was fucking fantastic before my parents divorced. No doubt. But after that, it got a little bit rockier. So I completely understand when Joyelle's just kind of like, well, yeah. And then this other time, this other thing happened. And it's, you literally see that puzzle piece click together. And you're like, no, we should have been in therapy so much sooner. But that wasn't an option at the time. That didn't seem like it didn't seem out of the ordinary. And then Dana's just sitting there going, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
No, believe me. Being in therapy now, I wish I'd started in my 20s.
No shit.
It's not that my life was bad. It wasn't. I grew up with two parents. I had two parents up until my dad passed away, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just instances that
could have been handled better.
We're traumatic to me. Maybe people mm-hmm. don't see them as traumatizing to them, but we're traumatic to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I have therapy to talk about that.
Yeah, I probably should be in therapy.
Yes, you should, Peanut. We have $1,500 coverage per calendar year. Go get you some therapy.
I know, it's just coming up with that rate of that from week to week right now is just coming up with that initial, like, okay, because you have to pay and then get reimbursed.
Yeah, but it's they reimburse the you the very next day.
I know.
Doesn't VP still have the, well, it's not LifeWorks anymore, but don't they still have the...
It's Humana Care, and it's a joke.
The free 10 sesh?
It's Humana Care.
Okay.
No, it's a joke.
Don't they still have the 10 sessions?
They don't
sessions
return your
free?
Phone calls. They don't return
they
your phone calls.
Oh.
I've called and...
I'd be talking to HR about that.
I called them, and somebody called me back, and I said I wanted in-person therapy, and they said, I don't know if we have anybody that does that. We'll get back to you, and they never did.
It's because they don't. It's all phone stuff. It's not in-person for them. So, I mean,
even though, like, right now, in-person... Or over the phone would be better than nothing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you want, I can give you the information for my therapist. She's out here, so you'd have to drive to her.
Yeah.
But and she does another location. I can't remember where it is, but I know she was cutting back her hours at her other one. But there's lots of them out there. And like I said, we have the $1,500.
I know. It's very daunting trying to choose one.
For me, I went with mine because I had gotten a recommendation from one of my other friends, and then I recommended my friend go to her, and she's been awesome. I love her just because there's no bullshit. She listens to what you have to say, and she doesn't try to force things. Like, at no point in time did she have any issue with me going the natural route. She doesn't have issues if you want to go the medication route. She'll help defend you. Like, if you need help with things like you being off, she'll help fill out the paperwork. She's the bee's knees, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'll take her information.
I'll write it there. I'll type it out and text it to you after this. But like I said, definitely highly recommend because it makes such a huge difference. And I prefer in person. Like, in person feels more like it holds me more accountable.
I want to do it in person. I don't know. I just think that's a more person to person thing for me. It's just a preference for me as opposed to, I feel that I necessarily might not be my total true self, like, when you're on the phone.
Well, you can hide things, like, if you're not using video or you're only using phone or you're only texting. Like, there's so many ways you can phrase things differently. You can hide expressions. When you're in the room with someone, you feed off of each other's energy and you can feel the shift in someone's mood. You can see their body language. So there's a lot more to why, like, to me, in person is superior to the other options. So I think Dana and I both definitely support you with that. I'll give you the information so you can get in contact with her, and she's usually really good for getting you in pretty quick too. Like, she did not hesitate. She had me in. I called on the Friday. She's like, Monday morning, come in. I'm like, sweet.
Oh, wow.
Like, she was instantly on it.
Yeah.
So she's awesome.
Well, that's a good spot to end today.
Yes.
With Peanut getting some good information.
Yes. Yes.
With that
is.
Being said, take us out, Taylor.
Make it so, number one. Make it so. As always, our email address is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com. We have the Facebook page under the same name. We love hearing from you guys. The episodes are also posted on my own personal Instagram under GoddessTayTay25. And they're also shared on Dana's social media of Twitter, which is Scooby71 on that one. Okay.
Yes.
S-K-O-O-B-I 71. And then it's also on her TikTok, which got an amazing amount of views last week for her post.
Over 4,000.
Holy shit.
45. Well, here, let me check. I'll tell you in half a second.
God damn. Her TikTok is Scooby, S-K-O-O-B-I. Hold on, she's got to put on her glasses so that way she can read the things.
5,494 views.
I think I just peed a little. Holy crap.
A lot of people shared it.
That's fantastic.
Like, shared it out, and a lot of people put it as their favorite. So,
wow. Well, yeah. Then. So, wow. That's a lot of people. So you can see the episodes posted on there. We're actually going to be making up I'll be making up a Discord server this week. Dana's all excited. She's like, yeah. So, one of our listeners, a friend of mine, actually suggested making a Discord server. And I had never actually thought of it before, which is surprising seeing as I'm in so many of them. So hopefully within the next week or two, that'll be up and running. And at some point in time, Dana is going to be posting our archived episodes, because we've got to be getting near the end of the storage space for all our current ones.
We're at 63% full.
Oh, that's not too bad. I was expecting worse.
I pay attention. Don't worry.
You got this. Okay, and always, as always, something that you're grateful or love about yourself. Dana.
I am grateful for the understanding people in my life.
I like it. I like it.
I ran into a friend on Thursday night. IT and I went out for dinner with Melissa and Andre.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into somebody I used to work with at VP, who I hadn't spoken to in about a year and a half. And I thought it was just another, didn't want to associate with me because I left. But I came to find out that they were in a horrific car accident.
Oh, shit.
And spent a month in the hospital and are still off work because they're awaiting surgery. And it was one of the best hugs I've ever got. It was great to see her, great to have a conversation with her, great to talk with her, and to know that we still are favorite people to each other. So, yes. That's that. Peanut, your turn.
I don't know. I guess I love my... my ability to survive.
That's a very good one.
I think so.
Because hearing your stories, you definitely are a survivor.
Yeah, that's for damn sure.
I mean, honestly, with what you revealed today, the fact that you have a good head on your shoulders... You're not a drug addict, alcoholic, eating disorder rattled person who's homeless.
And has no teeth.
Just the fact that you are the person you are definitely makes you a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think me and my sister both turned out pretty good despite everything.
I think you did too. I've never met your sister, but...
Well, I think you turned out better than me.
You turned out damn fine.
And like, holy crap. You just see the dumpster... See the dumpster fire behind her, and you're like...
Right.
What the fuck happened there? She's like, oh, that's just my
childhood. Did you start that, or did you walk out of that?
Little column A, a little column B. There's some bridges left back in there.
Okay, Chris Potato.
I had something and now it's left. I am grateful for how easily I can make new acquaintances / friends. That's what I'm grateful for. Because I know for some people, for a lot of people, especially who have like social anxiety, that's not something easy for them to do. So I'm grateful that I have that easy ability, though there are definitely some times where I wish that I could have that resting bitch face and change my energy so that people didn't come to me. But clearly that's never happening. So I'm grateful for that and that I can have fun with it.
Good. On that note, before we sign off, catch us on Podomatic.com. Please sign up. When you sign up, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You do not have to make a podcast. I mean, you can if you want, but you don't have to. But you can follow us and you can comment on our shows. And by doing so, your likes and your downloads help keep us relevant in the mental health category. And last week, we were at number 6, ladies. So, and when I say number 6, I mean 6 out of about 4,000 and change. So let's...
I was going to say, we got up to number 4, actually.
Yeah. So we kind of slipped in the polls. Let's try to bring us back up.
How dare we get to number 4? We want to be number 1.
Number 1. So we would appreciate you guys doing that if you can. But yeah, you can off of Podomatic. We're shared out on 11 different platforms: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it, Google. We're out there. We're all over the place. We're nationwide, baby.
We're worldwide, baby.
That's right. We're worldwide, baby. So, yeah. And on that note, we'll end this session. We'll bid you all a fond farewell and enjoy your week. And please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you guys about possible episodes, something you want want us to talk about. Or if you'd like to be a guest on the show.
Yes.
We would love that. We've had 2 guests, and they both those shows have got wonderful reviews. So if we can we can get you on as a guest, we would love to hear from you. On that note, toodles.
Ciao.
Bye.